We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends
and Frankie.
Live from Bungie Towers, it's Bungie Podcast Time.
So this is the first ever full-length Bungie podcast, starring myself, Frank O'Connor, also known as Frankie, and...
Hey, this is Brian. People call me Sketch as well, and we're happy to be here on the first inaugural Bungie podcast.
So that was the inaugural play of the Bungie theme song for the podcast, right?
Let's talk about that song for maybe for our new listeners or people who aren't super versed in Bungie lore.
So that the composer of the original Flintstones Kids theme is Marty O'Donnell, right?
Yeah, yep, the same one. You know, maybe some of the younger kids now. I don't even, do they still play that song on
TV? They might. I never watch kids TV, so I'm totally out of the loop. I haven't heard of half of their toys or TV commercials. So
yeah, I haven't popped a Flintstones Kids in probably 25 years.
I haven't popped any pills in a long time.
Yeah, well,
on vitamins,
not ones that Marty endorses. Anyways, so yeah, that's where that story came from. Marty is way before his time here at Bungie. He actually built himself up in the industry, writing catchy jingles and.
He did the Mr. Clean jingle, yeah, too, right?
Yeah, Mr. Clean. Yeah, he did that, and the Flintstones Kids are his sort of huge pieces. So anyways, when we approached Marty, of course, we would love his input on helping us craft a catchy theme song for our podcast. And
we were thinking, you know, choir, Stevie Vai, you know, a crazy mix of metal and orchestral themes. And
definitely what I had in my mind. And instead, we got...
Flintstones Kids jingle.
With the words changed.
Slightly.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Marty O'Donnell claims to have full rights to use that medley, so if any lawyers are listening and that's not the case, it's not our problem. Sorry.
And we're also, I believe, covered by parody, right?
Yeah. Anyways, we do thank Marty for that. I hope everybody likes it out there. You'll be hearing it a lot. Maybe we'll mix it up over the time. And we also need to give a big, huge thanks to Jay Wineland, sound designer here at Bungie, who also put a lot of help into that. Most notably, I think Jay's responsible for adding some cowbell.
That's right. We kept asking for more. Marty actually literally came in and had Jay take out cowbell. I mean, that might be the first time I've ever heard of anyone deleting cowbell from music. It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is that
stupid? It just shows that his musical taste, at least, is totally flawed, if not his compositional skill.
Could be a good taste of things to come for Halo 3, though. I mean, as the cowbell continues to grow in popularity, I think you are going to see it start to permeate game music as well.
Yeah, not ours, apparently. If Marty's got anything to do with it, he's going to be cutting cowbell left, right, and center.
But yeah, we are going to talk to Jay a little bit later in the episode, so we'll come back to that, and maybe Jay will have some fun stories about the making of our drastically overproduced theme song jingle. So this is actually, you know, our first show, so I ask you guys to just bear with us. Let us ease into this. We will hopefully get really good at this. And of course, before I forget to mention, do stop by Bungie.net, visit our forums. We'd love to get your feedback, ideas on ways that we can make the show more interesting and enjoyable for you.
Probably shorter, too.
Yeah, I imagine. we'll see where this first one clocks in at. But, you know, we're going to try to follow a fairly regular format. That's probably going to entail some sort of quick overview of Bungie news, which we'll get to in a minute, followed by usually one or two interviews. Later on in this episode, we are going to talk to Bungie sound designer Jane Wineland to get some insights into what it's like in his world at this stage in Halo 3 and sort of the role that placeholder dialogue plays for his team. Then we have an interview with our own Ninja on Fire to get a quick update on matchmaking playlists and future plans for Xbox Live.
We're also going to take a look at some of the crazy mail we get from people we banned from Xbox Live matchmaking. Visitors to the site will be aware that is called the Bungie Way Ambulance. And we're going to be having our own, very own Bob, one of our engineers, is going to be reading the Bungie Way Ambulance mailbag.
Yeah, and we got a whole bunch of other cool ideas in the future for various segments and features. But, you know, like I said, we're just going to ease into this, take it nice and slow.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Hot mic. So anyways, why don't we just go ahead and dive right into the Bungie news.
Bungie Headline News. Brought to you by Max Hogan Mandaroos. They're right, they're tight, with manly might. Max Hogan Mandaroos.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive right in, give you guys a quick insights into the world and life and times of Bungie Studios. I'll talk to you guys really quickly about Halo 2 Vista, something that's still kind of below the radar, I think, for a lot of people out there, but rest assured, we are still working away on this game. You may have already read that the game itself is actually being developed by a group of folks over at MGS, a very talented group of individuals that have formed a little small team who have since come to call themselves Hired Gun. That is their internal code name.
Sounds violent.
Yeah, Halo is sort of violent. It's a mature-based team name.
Don't need to make any excuses for me. I don't care.
But Halo 2 Vista is coming along great. I can tell you that I've played it a lot, and I think as Frank's written in prior updates, seeing Halo 2 at 1920 by 1200 resolution is pretty
it's
damn
weird.
Sweet.
Where we sit at our desks, if we just look over the top of a desk, we can see it running at crazy frame rates and really high resolutions. It looks really weird, actually, at first. You have to kind of go up close to even recognize what it is, because I guess you recognize the normal frame rate of Halo 2 on the Xbox, and you come to get used to it, and then you see it running way smoother, and it looks kind of alien until you get up close and look at it.
The game holds up tremendously, yeah, considering, you know, what how long it's been out there now. One of the things I actually wasn't aware of until recently is that some of the textures in the game are actually being redone and up-resed.
Right.
Specifically, a couple of the skyboxes in the background maybe don't hold up quite so well at those new resolutions.
Right.
So there's some artists that are actually going back in and redoing them all in high-res glory. And
right.
It looks really cool.
But the textures, the original textures, actually held up really well. I was kind of surprised. I thought we were going to see a bunch of like weird aliasing effects and mapping problems. But they look really good. I mean, it's, you know, it's a port. But it's pretty spectacular, given the.
I'd say it's definitely it is a port, but I think it's been optimized for the Vista experience, to quote some marketing lingo there. But one of the things that on the Xbox, the game very smartly uses a level of detail system to scale down what you see on the screen based on just, you know, how much processing power is available and how many things are on screen. And in theory, you know, on the Xbox, you have a closed platform. You have very specific targets you have to hit. On the PC, it's kind of open-ended. So the better hardware you have, the better frame rate you're going to get. And as a result, we can take more liberties with using those high-res textures.
Right. And actually, at high resolutions and with a level of detail stuff not actually kicking in, you can pretty much see an entire, almost full polygonal build of a Spartan down a ramp on lockout, for example. And I hadn't noticed how big a difference the LOD makes in the Xbox version until I saw it on the PC, and it's pretty significant. And that's one of the reasons that the game looks, you know, initially kind of strange when you look at it, but it's very pleasant looking.
Another cool thing that just happened recently in the latest sort of milestone review for the Hired Gun team is they've actually started to be able to integrate a lot of the Live Anywhere features. And this is going to be the cool stuff that allows you to bring up the guide that you might be familiar with from Xbox 360, have a shared friends list and sort of send and receive messages between Xbox and the Vista platform. Most importantly, work is starting to get underway about figuring out what the Halo 2 achievements are going to be, which, you know, for fans of Halo 2, this is the only way you're actually going to be able to earn those valuable, precious achievement points is on the Vista version.
Right, which begs the question, are you going to be able to do that in Halo 3?
I actually believe it's a requirement for all 360 titles.
Yeah, it's going to be fun measuring the achievements on Halo 2 Vista with the types that are available on Halo 3.
And just one point of clarification, I know we've talked about this a lot, but there's still some confusion out there about what Live Anywhere means. And I think ultimately it represents a whole suite of online services that are being ported over to Vista to optimize that experience. But for Halo 2, what it doesn't mean is cross-platform play. You've probably seen some cool demos of Shadowrun with players competing against the 360 and the PC, but that's not something that you're going to be able to do in Halo 2.
Right, and I keep hammering on this point. If we introduced PC players into the Xbox and Xbox 360 live pool right now for a game that people have been practicing on for 2 years with certain control parameters built in, it'd just be a mess. I mean, it would not be fun for either party. The difference between this and Shadowrun is, of course, that Shadowrun's built from the ground up to do this. So all their game balance and all their control balance and all that stuff is built from the start with all those things and all those aspects in mind. So it's a totally different scenario.
It is the two controls, just in general, mouse, keyboard versus controller, is definitely an interesting dynamic to watch. Having just come back from that game show in Germany, the Leipzig show, I noticed immediately, and even myself included, people that have experience playing Halo 2 instantly pick up the Xbox 360 gamepad.
Right.
Instantly they're in the game kicking ass. People who actually have never played the game before seem to go right to the mouse keyboard as their sort of first choice. So what I've noticed is I have yet to really see a true head-to-head competition between a really awesome mouse keyboard player and a really awesome joystick player, only because currently all the great Halo 2 players are already experienced joystick players.
Right, and certainly watching the team testing it over there, they're getting better and better with the mouse. I imagine, you know, the game is being designed so that both work equally well, and so far that's been my experience. It's going to come down to what your personal preference is in the end. I'm way more comfortable with the joypad, and to be honest, I feel like I have better access to those buttons, and I've got 2 years of practice on that. So that's going to make a big difference, quite apart from the technical differences.
Yep, definitely. All right, so you know that's a quick update on Halo 2. Definitely, you want to stay tuned to Bungie.net. We're going to have
we're going to see more on Halo 2 X06.
Yeah, we are. Speaking of which, you know, X06 is a Microsoft sort of PR marketing event that's happening next week over in Europe, and I'm actually going to travel over there with Joe from the Hired Gun team. We're bringing Halo 2 Vista with us to have the game out on the floor. We're going to have a lot of multiplayer stuff going on, and it's just to have it available for the press to come and play and hopefully write great things about it, because we're pretty proud of the progress that's being made there. Let's see. What else we got going on around the office this week, Frank?
Well, we've got Alta just came back from vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Bungie Princess, who's in charge of getting our snacks, has been gone for nearly 2 weeks. And we're completely out of snacks, and we're having to go to the store and buy snacks like normal people. It's a disgrace.
It's definitely it definitely crushes our productivity here.
And she comes like bouncing back in with a tan and a tropical shirt on, and she's like, "Hey guys, I've just been," and we're all starving.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's Alta's back, and the studio is back to being loud and crazy again.
Yeah, and we've actually just got over a bunch of... We have all these internal milestones, and you know, some of them we'll make public, and some of them they're just internal milestones. And we just got over a big one where people were on what's called a mini crunch. There's going to be several more of those, I'm sure. And one of the reasons for doing that is just to try and avoid big giant crunch at the end for obvious reasons. And I have to say the results of that crunch were awesome.
I mean, I totally agree.
I just watched Joe getting in a campaign scenario, and he was using he was using some weapons he's never used before. We've used them, but he was very surprised at what they were doing. And also they had those crates that fly apart with the bands around them, the big security bands. And we were like, is that one object? But it actually flies apart, so it's not one object. It's a proper physics thing. So
yeah, it's stuff is really starting to take shape and on all fronts. And I think Jay will have a little bit more insight to share in that department as we talk to him a little bit later on. But I totally agree with Frank. This last milestone was pretty freaking sweet. And we can't wait to be able to show some of this stuff to our fans.
Yeah, I'm literally like jonesing to get back to the office and get a build and play what I just saw Joe playing. I hadn't seen that before, and it was really
back
cool.
To the office. We're actually in the office right now.
Well, we're in the studio.
Coming to you live from our mobile podcast station.
Right next door to where we sit.
2 feet away from Frank's desk. All right, so another thing that maybe people would have noticed already on BungieNet by now is that the Halo 3 logo has been completed. Wow.
Right.
Now that is a pretty big milestone right there. I know people have been really waiting and eager to see what would this logo look like.
Probably no one imagined it would be a three in a big circle, right? It's probably a big
shock. Certainly didn't. I thought we were going to try something totally different this time and really take a risk. But you know, something about the fact that we've got 15 million copies of established identity that we need to work with, blah blah blah. So
now we make fun of it, but there's actually a lot of thought put into it. Certainly Halo 3, the game, is taking on kind of a darker, more somber tone, and I think that was the main direction that we gave to the agency that finally produced the art, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, but I think there'll be more about the logo that you can find over on Bungie.net.
Yep, you can actually go check it out now.
So I see you got some papers there in front of you, Frank. What's that all about?
I actually have our latest job listings. One of the funny things is that it's really hard to hire people in this industry. It's certainly really, really hard to hire the kind of caliber of people that we like to hire here. And we often pimp out the job postings on the website on BungieNet. We're going to do that on the podcast from time to time. And just wanted to mention a few of the open spots right now. If you're working at one of our competitors and you're awesome, come work for us. We'll pay you better. We have sweet benefits. We have a nice office. Gorgeous Seattle weather. We had a great summer this year.
Actually, it was quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Won't be too nice for the next couple of months, but then, you know, summer again.
Yeah, but we're all in here working anyways.
Exactly. Working at normal, good, healthy hours too. So you should come work for us. But we do have a bunch of job positions open. We have an associate producer, which is kind of a general role. You need some experience and you need to have worked on a game before to do it, but it's a pretty general role. Like, you do a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Organize people's schedules, make sure artists are talking to engineers and vice versa and all that kind of thing. We have a couple of design positions. We have a senior designer, which is that's someone who actually designs game encounters and gameplay scenarios. So that's the dream job for, you know, if I want to work in the games industry, that's where you tighten up the graphics, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the job that most everyone sort of just thinks is common sense, that anyone can do it.
Right.
But it is the job that sort of touches on every other discipline in the whole studio. And, you know, ultimately, the designers are the ones that are responsible for what the experience is when you and I go home and throw the disc in our machine.
Right. And it is a difficult job. And as a senior designer, we're talking, you know, you must have designed Gears of War or something before you get that job here. So.
I think Cliffy B's got a pretty good gig going over there. But no offense, but all the people that have their, you know, dream game scratched on a cocktail napkin, this one might not be your first step.
But this one might be. We're trying to hire a contract map maker.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is literally could be an entry level position for someone who's used like Unreal Tournament, Unreal Ed. Editors and makes good maps. So we're not necessarily looking for experience on that one. We're just looking for really cool maps. So if you consider yourself an excellent map maker, that's one you should definitely take a look at. And there's a long description of that job posting on Bungie.net. There's a big jobs button on the right-hand side of the main front page, so just click it and go take a look.
Totally.
We have a bunch of art positions. We're hiring artists like crazy because for this project and other projects, we need artists. It's one of the big things about the next generation console business is you need assets like crazy. You need textures, you need shader effects, you need geometry, you need maps, you need trees, you need shrubs, you need sand, you need everything. I mean,
now that we have all that power at our fingertips, it's essentially just a blank canvas, and we definitely need a crap load of artists to come in here and help make things look amazing. I think we have maybe a half dozen or so jobs that are open, one of which is that lead character animator position that's been open for a long, long time now.
Yeah, so if you know someone at Disney or if you know someone for working for a big video game company, that is a hard one to hire for as well because it's such a specialist proficiency.
Yep, and we do all of our animation here is hand-keyed, right, if... God forbid we end up in a bad situation on some future project and you're going to have Frank up there mocapping for...
Yeah.
I mean,
I can jump like 2 feet in air, though, so I can do sweet stunts.
Yeah, that would be an exciting game. So please help us make sure that future projects don't include Frank's mocap by referring all of your great animator friends over here to Bungie. But you can definitely see these in every job that we have over on BungieNet, like Frank said, and... Also, just add that in general, Bungie's always looking for great, talented people, even if your specific job specialty isn't listed. If you're the best of the best, we'll find a place for you. So there you have it.
All right. Any other Bungie news this week, Brian?
I don't know. It seems like there must be, but between the XO6 show next week, I know a lot of people have been tied up with that, myself included. I will just sort of go out on a limb right now and say that our post-XO6 show, which will probably be episode number 2, is going to be very juicy.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
More announcements coming.
I think it might be safe to assume that that something cool will come out of that X06 show. So we'll have to leave that. Time will tell.
So this is after the TGS announcement, right?
So oh, it is. Yeah.
So TGS, the Tokyo Game Show, is currently going on in Japan right now, and you guys.
Yeah, what's
already
up? We didn't get to go this year.
We didn't get to go because we're not really showing anything at TGS this year, right?
I thought Halo was huge in Japan.
Halo's really, really average sized in Japan.
Yeah, actually,
big in Korea.
It's not big at all in Japan.
No, they don't like the FPS. I think they're gonna adopt first person shooters as a genre. They just have to, and you know, it just takes time to get used to. Took us time to get used to Japanese style RPGs, but we did. So
that's true.
The big news out of TGS this week for me was the HD DVD player. That kind of came out of left field a little bit with some of the announcements. I mean,
yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
I mean, remember back at E3 in May, you and I were at the Roosevelt at the press briefing, and we were in that room actually. Right. Touching and playing with a little HD DVD add-on drive. It's pretty slick.
Right, but the guy we spoke to didn't have all the answers we were looking for, so the 1080p announcement probably put a cat amongst the pigeons. That was I'll be honest, I don't even have a 1080p TV, but I like the idea that it's 1080p just because it sounds more better.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought the higher the number and the more P's, the better it's going to look, right?
Yeah, mad P's. But the wife is excited because she thinks that means I don't have to buy the rival console because now I can have HD video, which was my big excuse for buying another console this year.
Yeah, maybe they'll like bring out Desperate Housewives 1080p HD DVD.
You know, you joke about that stuff, but that's the kind of thing that'll make these either of the new formats, Blu-ray or HD DVD, take off. It's not, you know.
Yeah, it's all about content, right?
For DVD, it was The Matrix, but this time around, you just got to fill it up with everything, I think.
Same way, you know, I think the same model applies to the consoles itself, as I think various Microsoft people have been quoted as saying, it's all about the content.
Yep.
So
fingers crossed our content's going to be part of that next year. But
Yeah, that's definitely cool. TGS, I think next year maybe we'll actually be able to go, or we'll have some reason to be there. I've never had the chance to go. It's the one show that I've missed. Speaking of platforms, that totally reminds me of another platform that's been up in the news lately. In fact, I think you'll have something on BNet this week about it. It's about the Infusio Halo mobile portal.
Right. That's basically for the everyman out there who doesn't know what a mobile portal is, that's Halo stuff on your phone. Right.
Yeah, pretty much. But rather than just sort of have some generic front end to just download ringtones and wallpapers, Infusio, who's Microsoft's mobile partner, has essentially built, I guess, what is really like a mini website that you hit with your phone. And in addition to acting as a way to download ringtones and wallpapers, they have a little bit of functionality right now to sort of tie in and get some RSS information from Bungie.net.
Right.
I think they're building in some ways to stay connected with your friends. You know, I think the longer-term vision for this thing is pretty cool. It's basically a way to keep Halo fans connected on the go.
Well, people have been, I mean, you know, not to pare it down to its bare essentials, but people have been begging us for a Halo ringtone for like 1,000 years, and Marty keeps promising it, and I guess it's finally here.
What do you think about, you know, speaking of which, this is a million-dollar idea, it just occurred to me that our new podcast song might be one of the best ringtones ever released.
It's a perfect length. I don't see how that would annoy anybody in a theater.
I mean, this could be bigger than a Fergie song, this could be bigger than Kanye, I mean, this could be huge.
It's going to be bigger than Crazy Frog, I think, for sure. And Frankie. People love that.
I know, I sing it all the time. Well, I think that might be it for our news update here. We do need to save some stuff for future shows, and we will have a lot more to talk about in the near future. But I think with that, that's a wrap. That's the Bungie News.
Bungie Matchmaking Update News.
Next up, we're going to talk to Ninja on Fire. As you know, he is our resident matchmaking Xbox Live expert here at Bungie. He works on the forums to get your feedback and helps keep the online experience fresh and exciting. Hey, how's it going, Ninja?
Good. How about yourself, Brian?
Hey, no complaints here. Wanted to chat with you real quickly, get an idea of what's in store for our next playlist update for all of our listeners out there. Maybe first off, could you give us an idea of when this next update is going to occur?
Well, we don't have a date set yet. The changes are still in the design phases, and then we'll move into test. And as soon as everything's functioning as it should be, we'll release the update.
Okay, so probably not too much longer then.
No, not too much longer. I'd say sometime between now and, I don't know, a month from now maybe.
Okay, that's cool.
Who knows, maybe shorter, maybe longer.
So can you give us any insights right now? You are in the design phase. Which playlist are you sort of looking to change? What kind of adjustments are you making this time around?
In this upcoming update, we're going to be focusing a lot on a lot of the user feedback that we've gotten for playlists such as Rumble Pit, a little bit of changes to Big Team Battle Slayer, Team SWAT, and we'll also be touching on Team Carnage to introduce a new iteration.
Oh, speaking of Team Carnage, that was a new playlist that was introduced for the first time in this last update. Could you just quickly talk about like what is Team Carnage, what's the thoughts behind that, and maybe how is it not the same as Action Stack, for example?
Sure. Team Carnage is actually what could probably be referred to as a rotating playlist. We'll be choosing different organizations to kind of spotlight from the community and allow them to create game types and playlist entries and weightings and everything for the entire playlist. They can choose how many players will be on each team. If it'll be a free-for-all, there could be a free-for-all, like a Rumble Carnage, for example. So we'll basically be changing this every time we do a major update.
So really, would you say that you're putting the power in the hands of the community to sort of shape their own playlist experience?
Kind of. That's actually more what Team Action Stack is about. Team Action Stack is kind of there so that we can allow individual users or even groups of users who are fans of different types of game types and whatnot to make suggestions, and then we'll add those in. But Team Carnage is kind of there to spotlight organizations within the community and let them kind of share the way that they play the game with everyone else.
Oh, okay, cool. And if I'm not mistaken, the current playlist up there right now, that was all provided by our friends at halo.bungie.org?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So let's say a group out there wanted to go about actually submitting, how does somebody go about getting their group on the radar to potentially submit a playlist for Team Carnage update in the future?
Well, any organization out there in our community who's been established for a little while and wants to contact us could probably send me a private message on bungie.net. Just kind of give me a summary of what your group is and what you're about, the type of playlist that you might want to make, and what your goals are for that, and kind of why you want to make a playlist and share that with everybody.
Are you able to give us any insights into this upcoming Team Carnage? Maybe like which group's working on it, or any insights into like what kind of games we might be able to expect?
We have a few different groups actually who we're considering, and they're all pretty much rather promising, so it's going to be a difficult choice. So I don't really want to name any names right now, but it's going to be another team playlist, and it's probably going to use anywhere from 4v4 to 6v6.
All right, cool. And there is this sort of overall caveat that I would assume we always reserve the right to make any tweaks or adjust any game types that we don't think would work or be fun. But in general, your goal is to try to give people as much freedom as possible.
Right, yeah. I mean, we really want to let people kind of share the way that they play. But at the same time, there's some things that we know fundamentally won't work in matchmaking, like games with no time limit or anything that requires like
honor rules.
Right, honor rules, special user participation like that. You know, you can't change teams in matchmaking. There's a few things that you can't really do in matchmaking, which you can do in custom games.
Okay. And maybe just remind our listeners again, too, in general, if people have comments or feedback regarding the playlist, where should they go to share those?
You can visit bungie.net and come to the OptiMatch forums. Feel free to create a post regarding the issue that you have or contribute to one of the other posts. We have a search feature on bungie.net now, and okay, that comes in handy. Or if they have something that they want to discuss with me specifically, they can always send me a private message.
You know, one thing that people may want to discuss with you after the last podcast is seemed to be a lot of buzz online, people sort of asking if that was your real voice or was there some voice filter applied to it, or What do you think that's all about?
I really think Shishka had something to do with that.
Well, I guess if this podcast sounds the same as your last one, then we'll know if there was any shenanigans or not.
Right. Then we'll know that it was actually Brian.
Yeah, I'm not gonna modify your voice. I promise.
All right.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks a lot for that quick playlist update, and we'll check back in with you in a future episode. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Bungie Interview.
So we're actually here live on location in Jay Wineland's studio, which is in the Bungie main office. We're using our little crazy portable recorder, so we're kind of intrepid reporters today.
On location, I mean, we're maybe 15 feet away from our normal booth. Yeah.
It's a location in time and space.
But, you know, Jay has stuff in his office that we can't fit into our little podcast booth, like this awesome... I'm looking at right now, you know, which is actually Halo 3 running on Jay's HD flat panel. It looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. The studio actually has a pretty sophisticated sound suite, just to give you a picture. Jay's office is full of banks of flashing equipment and Genelec monitored speakers and all this crazy high-end audio stuff.
So let's before we jump too far ahead, maybe Jay, why don't you just give us a quick refresher about, you know, what is your job here at Bungie? I know a lot of people joke that really Marty just sends you out as his errand boy, but what do you actually do here?
Well, my position is technically audio lead, which doesn't mean a whole lot. Really, you can kind of think of it that Marty's in charge of all of us and writes all the music, and that C-Paul and I are in charge of making sure that all the non-musical stuff gets put into the game. So we do a lot of dialogue editing, we do a lot of sound effects work, we pretty much divvy, that is C-Paul and I pretty much divvy up most of the sound in the game and just kind of have at it and have some fun.
So, you know, it sounds like a fun job, but what kind of background, what kind of experience, and what kind of skills do you need to do this job?
Well, a lot of the stuff that you learn working in sound on games, you learn as you do it and as you get to learn the tool suite that you're going to use at your company. Every company uses a different suite of tools, so and a lot of it is how you go about implementing sound in the game. But the three of us here, Marty and C-Paul and I, we all come from very disparate backgrounds, or reasonably disparate anyway. Marty's a classical composer and wrote music for, as we all know, for jingles for 18 years, and that was his college degree. I was a classically trained musician. I'm an oboe player and play a lot of the rest of the woodwinds too. And C-Paul's a sound synthesis major from Berklee School of Music in Boston. So we all come with lots of different stuff that we bring to the table.
Okay, cool, right on. So if people that have followed the Halo 2 sort of development diaries on BungieNet shouldn't, most people should know that typically the audio work that goes into the game sort of happens at the very end. We kind of always joke that Marty gets to screw around for two and a half years and then at the very end just crams all of his music in last minute. So right now, I mean, what are you guys actually able to be working on at this point in the game development cycle? Like, just give us an update on where are you guys? What are you focusing on at the moment?
We try to focus on anything that's available for us to work on at the time. We pretty much have to work on things before they're actually finalized, because if we don't work on them before they're finalized, we'll never get everything done. So we'll do pre-production on stuff, and we will prototype out sounds. And we'll kind of, you know, hook stuff up as best we can and try to make it sound as close as we want to the finished product. And then as things get signed off on, that is, as designers and artists saying, okay, this thing's totally done, then we'll do a last pass saying, okay, what's really changed about this thing since last time we visited it? So far we've visited lots of stuff in the game, that, you know, the weapons, vehicles, so on. We visited all those things at least once. We're kind of making a second pass through, and then we'll be... you know, kind of doing a final polish pass as after we get to the point where the designers and artists have taken their grubby little paws off of it.
So I noticed when I'm playing through the game right now, when I load up Halo 3, that a lot of the textures and, you know, even skyboxes and stuff, literally just while the artists are working on the real thing, they dropped in placeholder graphics and textures. You guys do a bunch of that as well with Halo 2 sound effects and music, right?
And that's correct. Yeah, we'll definitely drop in placeholder stuff as we go. But even when you see placeholder textures in those levels, if the level is actually masked out properly, that is, it is constructed properly, and we get a sense as to what the level is going to look like, we can actually finalize our ambient sound and placed sound effects, you know, waterfalls and the like, before the actual final art is done, as long as the actual construction of the level as, from a structure standpoint is finished.
Right, which is one of the reasons why an artist will place a placeholder rock texture so that you know when you're creating the audio for it that, you know, it's a rocky canyon, for example, so you're building an acoustic to suit that.
Exactly.
All right. So the combat dialogue, you know, people who've played Halo 2 are really familiar with the Marines and the other characters that you interact with running around screaming and saying occasionally scary and occasionally funny stuff. Are you guys working on that now?
We are working on tweaking the system. That is, we're working on finalizing what our list of what we call AI triggers is going to be. And we have not started recording yet, though. So the script is in the process of being written, and we're kind of analyzing the system to, you know, we discussed what worked well in Halo 2 and what didn't work so well, and what things we can improve upon for Halo 3.
How many lines of dialogue were there in Halo 2? It's some ridiculous amount, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty staggering number. The total lines of dialogue that we recorded was probably around 22,000 or so, maybe 22,500. And of that, approximately 18,000 or 19,000 is combat dialogue. And we probably trimmed out a couple thousand right near the end just to kind of polish it up a little bit. We probably ended up with maybe 15,000, 16,000 lines of combat dialogue and then another 4,000 lines of mission and cinematic dialogue.
That's just mind-boggling, but it sure would seem like, you know, of the 16,000 combat dialogue lines, that it seems like only a fraction of those ever actually get heard by most players. Would you agree that's probably the case?
There is a lot of stuff that's common, and you'll hear it said all the time. You know, the more common phrases that, you know, hey, there's an enemy, and so on. You're going to hear that a lot. Some of the rarer ones, we specifically can put skip fractions on them so that they will get skipped intentionally, so that they end up being a very rare line. Now, of course, by this point, everybody knows about the skulls that are spread throughout Halo 2 in the single player game. And for those that don't know about this one particular skull, you should try to find it. I can't remember exactly where it is, but there is one that will actually reverse the skip fractions in the game, which would make it so that you can hear a lot of the rare dialogue, and then you won't hear the more common dialogue.
Interesting. So for me personally, last time I was playing Halo 3, which was just the other day, I noticed quite a few familiar voices coming out of the game. If I'm not mistaken, I think I actually heard Frankie doing some lines. I believe maybe Chris Carney was doing Sergeant Johnson. Even Alta had a role as Cortana. Tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
Well, we've always used professional AFTRA and SAG actors for the characters in the game. We've always had this group that we affectionately call the Bungie Boys. Those of us around the office that can give a decent read, and at times when you're desperate for that one line of dialogue that we forgot to pick up in the studio, or we just kind of changed the way the particular scene went, or we have a one-off line or something, late in development, we usually have to, you know, pull in some of these Bungie Boys to kind of throw a line in the game. Dave Dunn has appeared very briefly in both Halo 1 and Halo 2. I had a couple lines in Halo 2. And Carney had a couple lines in Halo 2 as well. So these people exist around a Bungie, and we use them for placeholder dialogue a lot. So currently I've just finished producing about 2,500 or 3,000 lines of dialogue for placeholder for the missions. And they're all Bungie Boys. You know, good old Frankie here plays Sergeant Gruff, which is the guy that everybody knows as Pete Stacker. That's his character. And he also plays one of the Brutes, which I'm going to play for you in a minute. Chris Carney does play Sergeant Johnson, and then I've got a group of four or five guys that kind of share the Marines. And you know, our Bungie Princess Alta plays Cortana and Miranda, and Joe, of course, plays the Grunt, but he's played the Grunt throughout both games. And it's been it's fun. It's a good time. People like to get behind a microphone. They like to come and have a good time, just kind of reading some lines and getting them in the game. And it's really functional for the designers to have this placeholder stuff for them to get a sense as to how the speech is going to work in the game.
So, you know, let's get into actor's studio mode for a moment. What's it like working with the Bungie Boys versus working with real professional actors?
Well, real professional actors usually don't need much prodding. They've done this before, and they can pretty much step up to a microphone and just do their stuff. And I think probably my favorite memory is we got David Scully in to do a session for Sergeant Johnson and for one of the elite characters, Combat Dialogue. And he had a four-hour session in which we ended up getting over 1,500 usable lines of dialogue that went into the game. If you do the math on that, that pretty much means that he's charging through this material like nobody's business. Sometimes it takes the Bungie boys a little longer to get something that is actually usable as we go along. But they're a lot of fun, and we like to josh around a lot and have a good time. So it's definitely entertaining.
Well, I'm sure it's because the Bungie boys are very professional and they want to get it perfect, you know. Unlike freaking Sergeant Johnson, who just wants to rattle through this stuff, you know.
I'm not saying he wants to rattle through it. I'm saying he is so good that he can just come in and everything that he does is spot on.
We know he is the king. Why don't more Bungie people actually get their voices into the final game? Are they really bad actors, or are there other reasons that we haven't discussed?
No, well, you know, if you got to get some plumbing done, you usually hire a plumber. So when we actually get to do the final dialogue, we hire professional voice actors, and we fill in as necessary with some of the Bungie boys as we need to.
Is Joe Staten, who plays the Grunt, is he one of the only sort of official SAG actors that are actually Bungie employees?
No, Marty's actually is also SAG, and he's in the game too. You don't recognize his voice because he's done a bunch of the aliens, but he is the originations of the voice of the Jackal and of the Hunter.
Hmm.
I think that's it. I think it's the Jackal and the Hunter were originally Marty in the studio back when we were working on Halo 1. We generated most of that stuff.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here with this one. But who of this Bungie boy posse, who gives the best performances? And on the other side, who's just really not good at all?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one, because I don't want to smack down any of my boys.
Don't worry, nobody will listen to this.
Yeah, famous last words. You know, that's a tough one, because everybody's pretty good. You know, I guess Carney's probably one of the more entertaining ones to have in the booth, or done, probably, but I'm not necessarily sure that I'd call them best. You know, Mike Zach always gives a very consistent read as he goes along. I'm not sure if I could pull out a worst, because you know, a lot of people have come in to read to see you know, if we'd be interested in having them kind of do placeholder and be part of the clan, so to speak. So perhaps the best is the people that are not placeholders probably were among those that didn't have maybe the best reads.
Oh, so there was sort of an informal audition process just to be a part of the Bungie Boys placeholder crew.
Very informal, just like, hey, come down and step behind a microphone and have some fun if you like.
Hmm. And fun it is. All right, well, if you don't mind, since you've got this big audio rig here and all this stuff's right behind you, maybe you could share a couple Bungie Boy outtakes with us. We could just sort of play a few and talk about some memorable moments while you guys are in the booth.
I can indeed. In fact, if you hold your microphone over there, I'll hold mine up over here.
All right, so here we go. We're going to, just to clarify for people that are maybe just now fast-forwarding ahead because they don't have any patience, we're going to listen to a couple placeholder dialogue outtakes from Halo 3 produced by Jay Wineland here, and this is the Bungie Boys in action.
Okay, so I pulled out just five characters real quick. One of my favorites is our new British Marine.
Acknowledge, Sergeant.
I'm going to play that again.
Acknowledge, Sergeant. We're sending a Pelican gunship your way. ETA 7 minutes. You have to be the luckiest son of a bitch in the galaxy, Chief.
And I just love that that addition. We've also used occasionally Francois has a great French accent. We've also used Lee for other British characters. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, something about the accent, just as I was mentioning earlier, just seems to add sort of instant authenticity to their lines.
Yeah. So here's Frank as our brood here.
You fight with words.
Oh, I see. It's like there's a two-part level. Sorry.
And they fail you.
Are you using the Microsoft Outlook notification sound effect in Halo 3? Is that what I just heard?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it just happens to be that my PC is plugged into the same rig.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. Here's a little bit of Carney as Sergeant Johnson, this is some great stuff.
Chief, we got a flight of Banshees inbound on your position. I'm diverting to intercept. I'll try and buy you some time. Chief, it's a mess up here. Too many of them. A few Banshees slipped through.
Then the end of the session?
We're all clear, Chief. We should have clear skies. I hope you got the map. B Because I don't stop for directions. Because I'm goddamn Sergeant Johnson.
Thank you, Chris.
And we have some funnier outtakes, which are, here's, Dave Dunn had to come in and insult a brute, and he went off as only Dave Dunn can.
Take that, gorilla face! Hey, if I shaved my ass and made myself walk forwards, would I look like you? This guy's as ugly as a goddamn basketball with fur on it. Who the hell modeled this damn model? It looks like crap. Take that, monkey breath. Suck on this, gorilla boy. Is that all you got, monkey man? Take your best shot, gorilla breath. And you're uglier up close than I imagined. Go ahead, there's a thousand more of me where I came from. God damn, you're an ugly son of a bitch.
Oh, that's Dunn having a good time. And here's the last bit I have for you, as we caught Alta on a day when she was very busy. Actually, it was the day before the bungee picnic, when she's trying to organize a major event for a couple hundred people. And she's trying to get finished with this session that I had her doing real quick. And she turned the page to do her last little bit of stuff, and this is what I got out of her.
Excellent. Now you got a big whack of PA system on the next page.
Okay. Oh.
Page and a half.
Good.
Stokes, you go right over and whack Stokes upside the head.
Stokes, you're a ass. I'm after this today. Lips, I'm coming after you.
That's what I had time to pull out for you this morning.
Wow, cool. All right, thanks, Jay. I think we can't wait to see which one of those may make it into the final game.
The answer is probably none of them. We'll see.
Hey, one other thing that we wanted to just quickly talk to you about real fast is before we jump into this other little sneak peek you have, sneak listen, I guess you have, is today, as this being our first official podcast, it was also the first time the world got to hear our new theme song. Which we played earlier, you know, at the opening of our show. We gave you credit for taking it to the next level with the addition of some awesome cowbell there. Could you just talk really quickly about that, the creative magic that happened in the booth earlier. I guess that was last week when we all sort of came together to create this masterpiece, and sort of how would that rank up amongst your entire career of audio production?
That was about the silliest 2 hours I think I've spent in a very long time. But it was very entertaining to have Marty and Frankie and Brian in the booth attempting to sing together. And someday we'll, I'm sure, have a little outtake of Frankie busting out a little something special at the end of that one.
I mean, are you happy with the final mix? Too much cowbell? Not enough cowbell? Is there ever too much cowbell?
I think that, in Marty's opinion, maybe I was a little heavy on the cowbell, but I actually was a little heavier and I backed off a little bit.
You think maybe the original sort of cowbell remix cut might surface at some point?
The original cowboy mix, cowbell mix might come up, that's for sure.
All right, cool. So I hope people like it, because they're going to be hearing a lot of it. We might, you know, next time we run short on content, we'll just re-loop the theme song a few times. So I think in closing, we had asked Jay to sort of kick off what we hope to be a regular segment on our podcast, which is the Halo 3 mystery sound.
That's right! It's time for another mystery sound!
Let that tickle your fancy.
All right, awesome. Thanks a lot, Jay. I'm sure we'll be back in here bugging you again for more cool sounds in the future.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next up, we have a special guest on the Bungie podcast. It's Bob.
Hello. Bob, this is Bob Glasner. He's the tools programmer for Bungie and works under the auspices of Matt Noguchi, the angriest man in all of video game programming.
That's pretty much my job. I get to deal with Matt all day.
So can you describe what your job actually entails, apart from being Matt's bitch?
I work with designers to do the tool set, and I make designers and artists happy. It's my job. You probably won't see any of it in the game, but it makes a big difference behind the scenes.
So we actually asked Bob to be a regular guest on the Bungie podcast, because we thought it'd be great to get a wider cast of characters. And we wanted Bob to maybe handle our reader mail and Wambulance segments. Maybe Frank, if you want to explain what that is real quick.
Absolutely. Fans of BungieNet will be well aware of what the Wambulance is. It is the mail that we get from kids who've been banned from Xbox Live matchmaking for cheating and or other abuse. Just to clarify, when we ban them and when we use their mails, we're keeping their identities private. So, you know, just for the heck of it, because, you know, they don't want to be embarrassed. So we're going to keep their identities private. But you should also note that we have triple checked the guilt of all these parties before we, you know, anonymously humiliate them on the internet. But it's just a fascinating insight into the minds of cheaters and other miscreants on the interwebs.
The Bungie Wambulance.
My game tag is... It's my first. Well, my brother had one on the same Xbox, but he moved it to his 360. I can't sign on, but he can. I think all those kids that said they...